Can't argue with that. I once was this, but now I'm that. Once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's like God is powerful. His arm is mighty to save. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you cry out to God from your heart. He will hear you and he will forgive you. No matter where you've been, it's like there's no pit too deep. There's no place too far that God cannot reach and draw you out of that place and set your feet on a firm foundation, a solid rock on which we stand, all else sinking sand. All else sinking sand. Man, I just... Oh, thank you. Sure. It's amazing how many parallels. I think many people could identify in some way or another. You may not have ended up in the clubs and the pubs and done things like that, but you may well witness with things that were difficult, difficult. Areas where you found brokenness, areas where you found great pain. And I just know that this morning God wants to minister. While I'm speaking, I'm just like, God, what are you wanting to emphasize? What are you wanting to say? And I know also there's another testimony. Lord, I just really want to hear what God's wanting to impress upon our hearts right now. He's already started to speak. He's already impressed things on your hearts. And I don't want to just move past those things. Because God wants to do business. God wants to do business. He doesn't want to leave us. We don't want to go out the same way we came in. He wants to do business. He wants to see our lives transformed. And that's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the Spirit of God. The old things are gone. New creation. The old is gone. The new has come. He makes all things new. Not some things. All things new. Let the old be gone. And friends, when I started life, I was conscripted. Well, in South Africa, compulsory military service. 18 years old. And 3 months basic training. And we're forced to go in a place normally quite far away from where you live. And you arrive with long hair in civvies. And that doesn't last. Because it's stripped from you. Your civvy life, your haircut down to number one or number two. Just shaved off you. Your clothes taken from you, given a uniform. And nobody says please. Orders are barked at you and shouted. And it's not like, please could you do this or please could you do that. And even your personal hygiene was under inspection. I mean, we used to sleep on the floor rather than sleep in our beds because our beds had to be pristine. It's rather easy to sleep on the floor and try and get some sleep than have to wake up for 3 hours and fix a bed. But I can remember a guy whose personal hygiene wasn't up to scratch. They took him into the shower. And today it would be, abuse because, they were scrubbing the guy in the shower. And it was your dignity. You sat on the toilet in front of your friend. No toilet doors. I mean, you think today, in today's world, it's not even comprehensible. But they were trying to strip you down so they could build you up. And friends, when I think of even the things we had to learn, the ranks, etc. You were a green button in nursing. They used to call about green buttons. You didn't know anything and were a little bit of a risk. Bibi was a green button at one stage and then progressed to a nursing sister. But you in the army were a rookie. And I remember coming to the, and one guy, he didn't recognize the rank. He didn't know the rank. And he knew that there was a few pips here. So he knew it wasn't quite a captain, but he didn't know the rank of colonel. So morning special captain. He just, another guy, there was ranks coming on both sides, brass, like officers. So he just saluted, like, he didn't know, like, what. People were pretty, in Sandhurst, in the UK, it wasn't much different. I mean, I remember reading an autobiography of a South African by the name of Brendan Smith. And he said he arrived outside the armory and nobody had told him, you've got to go under the radar. You have to be nondescript. You mustn't stand out. You mustn't make, don't be recognized. Just stand. But nobody had told him that. So he's outside the armory and there's one other South African. And the master sergeant says, "What's your name?" So the guy says, "To Blanche." He says, "To what?" He says, "To Blanche." "To what?" He's trying to write down his name. So he spells it out. T-E-R-B-L. What? He has to spell it out again. A-N-C-H-E. To Blanche. So by this stage, Brendan stands up there and the guy says, "What's your name?" So he says, "Smith." S-M-I-T-H. He didn't even get to H. It was like 50 press ups. And he had made a name for himself, and his life was tough after that. But friends, you see, when we come into the kingdom of God and we enlisted and the Spirit of God gets a hold of us, it's like we're in this basic training. We're in old habits and attitudes have to change. They may surface, but they have to change because we're now in a new kingdom. And things will change and have to change. You've recognized things that need clearing up or changing. Maybe you've even heard the voice, "This kingdom's not for you. This kingdom's not for you. You can't make it in this kingdom." Friends, that's the enemy. That's Satan. That's the liar. He's the father of lies. He's the accuser. He's going to find fault. He's going to condemn you. He's going to put you down. And I can remember being quite a zealous young Christian in the army. And this young, immediately, there was backlash. Immediately. Pretending that they were some kind of preacher. And I was trying to read the Bible. And I didn't have I couldn't answer their questions. And I felt inadequate. And I felt disqualified. And I felt even ashamed to call myself a Christian because I was saying and doing things I shouldn't. And the enemy was quick to climb on the bandwagon. I hadn't got water baptized. I wasn't deeply rooted in the Word of God. And so the enemy had a bit of a field day. And that's why that Word of God, spending your time reading, because you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And He'll sanctify us with His truth, because your Word is truth, oh God. How does God change us? Through the Word, through the living Word. And there's a battle over your life, and it intensifies the moment you're a babe in Christ. And there's a scripture that I'm going to rest for and ask maybe Tim right now and Tim and Matt to come up to illustrate this. And Jed can put it up. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, it starts off by saying, "May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, your soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So I'm going to ask Matt to stand here on my right and Tim to stand on my left. So we are body, soul, and spirit. I represent the soul part. This man's representing the spirit part. And this man's representing the flesh part, the body. Okay, now your body's not sinful, but there's a sinful nature that we're born with, a flesh nature. And it's got a grip on us and a hook on us. And it will wrestle us and it will pull us. And friends, there's things that are out of peace. Maybe there's some rejection. Maybe there's something that's happened in our lives. You see, this door's open. I'm born with that door open, and I look for comfort. I look for drugs. I look for alcohol. I look for sex. I look for something to comfort the areas that are out of peace. There's areas in my soul that are out of peace. The Spirit is waiting. The Spirit is waiting. You see, there's a battle. There's a strong men on either side. There's strong things right here. There's power there, but there's also greater power. Sorry, Matt. And so there comes a point when I open the door to the Spirit, and I'm born of the Spirit, or born again, and I open the door, and the Spirit opens the door. And that door's open, but then I've got to break off some things here. I've got to put to death some things. I've got to get rid of some things, and I've got to put them underneath my feet, and Galatians talks about this, and this to me is an illustration of the battle that rages over our lives. And so yes, maybe there's some things I've got to put to death, the spliffs, the things that I know that are going to bring me down. And I recognize that the door to the flesh has to close. I've got to close that. I've got to cut that thing off. And I've got to allow the Spirit to minister. Thanks, guys. You've been great. If you ever need some doorman, some strong man. You see, in Romans 7 and Romans 8, it describes this battle. And we've mentioned a little bit of Romans 8 came through in the word that Jeanette shared this morning. But you see, Romans 7 is like life in the flesh. It's like Paul, all the good I want to do, I don't end up doing. And that which I don't want to do is right there beside me. Who will save me from this body of death? What a wretched man I am. That's Paul pulling himself apart. It's him, he realizes like, oh, what is this that's holding me? And he's like, but if it ends there, there's no hope. But it doesn't end there. It says, but thanks be to God. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord, there's hope. And then it goes into Romans 8, life in the Spirit. The Spirit, life in the Spirit. Therefore, now there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of God has set us free from the law of sin and death. Sin and death is died. And the Spirit is bringing life. And there's a flow of life. And so in Galatians 5, in one passage, it explains this battle. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. The flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Areas out of peace. God wants to heal what we don't want to reveal. God wants access to the deepest part of us. You see, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit makes us regenerate. That's the word, regenerate. The born of the Spirit, we are alive to God. God is Spirit, and we are alive to God. And the Spirit gives life. He even says we're sealed with the Spirit. So you can run, but you can't hide. God will hunt you down. God will pursue you to the ends of the earth because His Spirit is at work. Friends, I'm able to testify to some of this because I've also been in a place where I fell away. You see, He resides with us all the time, but we can resist the Spirit. Whenever we clearly hear His voice speaking to us and we refuse to listen, we resist Him. But He uses the Word, He uses the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them with your truth because your word is truth. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. No word, no truth, no freedom. I responded to the gospel, as I said, when I was in the military amongst my peers and immediately faced spiritual opposition. You see, darkness hates light. And the enemy kept at it. I wasn't grounded. But then you see, when I think of how God, I may have disqualified myself, but God was pursuing me. God was pursuing me because He loved me. And His love covers over a multitude of sin. God wanted to access my heart and set me free. In our righteousness, we do things that we're ashamed of. And then the enemy layers shame upon us. Shame is a terrible thing. But God was naked on the cross so that we could, He took our shame. In His nakedness, He took your shame so that you could be part of the unashamed. That's the miracle of the cross, that He was naked and yet He took our shame. And we can only be covered by His blood. Only. No clothing righteousness of our own. Just His blood. The Holy Spirit never left me. But I was resisting Him, grieving Him, quenching Him. Do you know the scripture talks about we can resist Him, we can grieve Him, we can quench Him. And it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of. So there's a part we have to play. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 4, verse 30 to 32. Wow. Wow. When I look at that, hey, it's like God gives us a divine exchange. We get what we don't deserve. What we don't deserve. That's the miracle of the scandal of grace. God, I don't deserve compassion. I don't deserve your forgiveness. I don't deserve your kindness. But God forgives me and He expects me to do the same. And then it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, do not quench the Spirit. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. That's my challenge this morning. Because there's a fourth way we can respond to the Spirit. We can grieve Him, we can quench Him, we can resist Him, but we can also be filled by Him. It's in the present continuous tense. Keep on keeping on being filled. Be filled and be filled and be filled with the Spirit. All God has given me was provided at the cross, but that doesn't mean I fully received it. And this is the prayer that I would love us all to be able to echo this morning. There's a time in our lives when we say, all I know about myself, I give to all I know about you. Lord Jesus, come in all of your power and take possession of all that I am. All. Like, in other words, I don't want to have the enemy have any part of me. All. I want to cut off every stronghold, every foothold, every toehold, every toenail hold. I want to cut those off so that there would be a separation unto God. You know, Genesis, you sometimes think, wow, back then there was a battle over Jacob's life. He came to that place. He had been deceived all his life. That's why his name was Deceiver. He had a history of cheating people. One night he came to the end of his self-respect and he wrestled with God, the angel of God, saying, I will not let you go lest you bless me. I will not let you go. Everything about his life was changed as God touched him. So profound a change that God changed his name to Israel. A new name. God wants to give you a new name. And if you're facing defeat and recognize you're walking in your own strength, you will fail. But then there's letting the Holy Spirit, letting go and letting God, letting the Holy Spirit take control, simply giving up self-effort to stop sinning. Sometimes we try and, if I need the white knuckle club, do you know what I mean, the white knuckle club? If you hang on hold it hard enough, you're gonna survive and you're going to grit your teeth. Man, that's what God's not asking you to white knuckle. He's asking you to yield to Him. The Holy Spirit brings Christ-like character in your life. It's in real Christ. All real Christ-likeness in us is His work. It's His fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. 9. Against such things, there is no law. No law. Because He causes it. Have you noticed, I said this to the kids in the car on the way to youth, there's no fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. All these characteristics are caused by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, not just some of them, but all of them will appear in everyone in whom the Holy Spirit is given full control. So you have every one of those. If you give them the Holy Spirit and you open your door and you've said, God, come, every one of them, increasing measure. You might think, well, okay, that one needs to be more. But Jesus, in speaking of the Holy Spirit, who they were later to receive, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. 3 steps to receiving the Spirit. Letting the Holy Spirit take control. Come. If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. So that's the first step. You've got to come. You've got to get down on your knees. You've got to actually respond. Come. If that speaks to you this morning, describes you, confess it to the Holy Spirit. It begins by confessing you're not filled, that you desire it with all your heart. And then ask. We receive not because we ask not. If I don't ask, I won't receive. You have been promised that whatever you ask for will be given to you. And then finally receive. Switch off the transmitter and switch on the receiver. Because sometimes we keep sending, and it's just like, God, come. God, I give up this. I can't do it myself. God, I need your healing hand. God, I need you to deliver me from this addiction. God, I need you to break in on this area. Come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He comes sometimes with waves of joy. Sometimes it's waves of power. Sometimes it's a gentle calm. Regardless of the way He comes, it's with power. Because where the Holy Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty. you look at this, I don't know if you can see this glass, it's quite full, it's actually spilling a little bit. There's a law of displacement. You've got a full glass of water, and if I pour the sand in, what will happen? You should know this from school. You should know this from common sense. Friends, the law of displacement says that no two substances cannot occupy the same space at the same time. You cannot occupy the same space at the same time. When we're asked to be filled with the Spirit, we've got to let and recognize there's works of flesh, there's works of darkness, and say, God, if there's unbelief, if there's disobedience filling our hearts and minds, there's little space left for the Holy Spirit. Being filled also means an emptying. If we have a cynical spirit, there's no room for faith. If we have bitterness in our soul, there's no room for joy. If we have, even though perfect love dispels fear, if we allow fear and hold on to it, it can and will keep love out. How many times have you and I dug in our spiritual heels and said, I'm not comfortable letting go of control? What will people think? What will people say if I get overly zealous? That's not English. Friends, that's pride speaking. It is. It's pride. To be baptized into the deep things of God, you've got to be willing to be totally emptied of self. If you need to protect your dignity at all costs, the filling of the Spirit may frighten you. I can remember Dion Robert. He was a pastor from the west coast of Africa, from Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. I don't know, French isn't that good. But he visits South Africa, and I remember him saying, one night he had a revelation from Ezekiel 47. And he came to that part of the passage in where the prophet was led into water that was ankle deep. And then it was led into water that was knee deep. And then waist deep. And then into a current that was over his head. A river that no one could cross. That night he felt the Lord challenge him. Dion, are you prepared for me to lead you into a river so deep, so swift, that your feet will no longer touch the bottom? Will you follow me into the deep things of God, in the deep things of the kingdom, and let me fully use you as my servant? Friends, he struggled with the call of God. And he cried out, yes, yes, yes. Friends, God has used that man mightily throughout Africa, Europe, even America. A man from the west coast of Africa who willingly said, I will give myself over to God. And as we land this morning, the question needs to be asked, why do we desire to be filled with the Spirit? If it's our motive, and the motive's impure, so that I could in some way receive great power from God, that could be sand in the glass. If it's about ourselves, if it's about trying to do, you know, be something or show something, that's an area that we need to ask God's forgiveness of. When your desire of your heart is to be more an effective servant of the Lord, to be a better instrument of God, to be more Christ-like, your request to be filled will be honored. He promises to put a new spirit in us. A spirit, what? A heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. A new spirit. He's a good father and he gives good gifts. And then other things, friends, will be displaced. Other things will lose their attraction. Other things will not be exciting anymore. It won't be like things that we are drawn to. Areas that are out of peace, areas that are looking for comfort. You see, dark hurt in dark isolation, or deep hurt in dark isolation, will lose its power in God's presence. Paul even had to recognize in humility, and I don't know if he knelt down, but I know that Ananias came and prayed for him. Ananias put his hands on him and said, the Lord has sent me to you so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There was an impartation right there. Friends, if you recognize this morning from what's been shared and you identify this with this testimony, you realize there's areas where I've resisted God, even grieved God, possibly even quenched the Spirit and walked away from God, ask for forgiveness even right now. Can we do that? Let's bow our heads. Confess your need for cleansing. Friends, that's where it starts. If you're comfortable, you may even want to kneel down. Not putting that on anybody, but just there is a point at every one of our lives where we need to yield before the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that to me is that He's Lord and I'm not. He's Master and I'm a servant. He's King and I'm a subject. I acknowledge that. And friends, if the Queen came in, we would kneel before her if she was to in any way investiture or do anything in terms of knighthood or whatever. We would kneel. And she would, that picture comes to mind as I'm speaking. It's just a yielded. If you've never yielded before God this morning or any other time in your life, God is asking for us to surrender. He's calling us to surrender. We've simply got to come and ask and receive. And when we come, we've got to confess as Paulo said, she had to confess things. Friends, there was power. And if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And I want to encourage you, it may not be a one-off right now. It may be going back home, getting down beside your bed or in a quiet place, possibly even the bathroom, where you won't be disturbed and just do business with God. Don't go out the same way you came in this morning. All I know about myself, I give to you. I give to you. I give to all I know about you, Lord Jesus. Come in your power and possess all that I am. All that I am. I want to empty all the sand out of my life. The grit, the dirt. It's by way of response. I wonder if Steph and some of the musicians can come up this morning. I know there's a song that she has prepared. And I just think by way of response, it might be even us standing together. I trust even this morning, if you've never been filled with the Spirit, that's a come on, it's a come. And it's someone that we need to respond to. It's one that an invitation that we need to respond to. Acts 1:8, and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be a witness to the ends of the earth. The Jerusalem, the Judea, the Samaria, the ends of the earth. So we stand together. Friends, even as the musicians begin to play this morning, I know we've allowed the Spirit of God to lead us and we haven't taken up tithes. We haven't taken up offerings. We haven't done any of that this morning. There are the boxes up front if you've brought your tithe with you this morning or you'd like to give an offering. But let's be obedient to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is drawing us right now. Let's not resist. Let's not quench. Let's not grieve. Let's respond in whatever way the Holy Spirit's drawing you this morning. In whatever measure you need to yield, in whatever measure you need to surrender. And friends, for some of you, I believe there's prayer that you need to receive. You need to come up front and we want to pray with you, want to stand with you, want to trust that you would be filled. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, friends, they waited in the upper room for 10 days and they received. We're not going to wait for 10 days, friends, because the Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here to meet with you this morning, right now, right here. And they received power and went out and preached and 3,000 were saved. Friends, we want to receive fresh fire this morning, a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit to blow through this place, blow through our lives, fill us again, fill us anew, fill us afresh. Let that be a prayer of all of our hearts this morning. And as they play, won't you come forward so we can pray and minister one to another? Thank you, Lord.